Thank you. Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of our brother Jesus, and I pray that by our worship this day, you might know the companion God who meets us in all of our times of transition and change, and all of our times of loss and blessing. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Time and distance are separating us still, and yet by the power of the Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have a few announcements that we want to share with you this morning. We're thanking our worship leaders, of course, this day, for all of the gifts that they are sharing that help us to make this worship possible. And so we extend thanks to Sarah Lynn Keller and to Wayne Zaretter, to Lane McDonough and Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, and also, of course, to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for the technical expertise that makes it possible for this worship to come to you this day. A few things about our worship this morning. We have a time of candle lighting that happens just following the announcements. So as I light the Christ candle, I'll be inviting you to light your candle at home as well. And so we encourage you to have that ready and available for worship right away this morning. We have a time of sharing concerns and celebrations as we gather together in prayer as a community of faith. That will happen later in our worship service, just following the time of reflection. And we also invite you to send us prayer celebrations or concerns that you might have to share this day. Many of these are listed in our church's bulletin, but you can also email these now to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. If you get those to us by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate them into our prayers this morning. So we encourage you to do that. We have, as always, a time of post-worship fellowship following our worship this day, and so we hope that you will join us during that time. There is a link to this time together via Zoom video conferencing that you will have received in your weekly emailing newsletter, which went out on Friday and also this morning. You can find it on our church's website, again, at www.firstchurchnatick.org, and also information will be included at the conclusion of this service. Sarah Lynn's going to tell you a little bit more in a little bit about how our fellowship is a little different this week, because we will be moving directly from our post-worship fellowship into our annual meeting. So a little bit more information from Sarah Lynn coming up. And with that, Sarah Lynn, I turn over the announcements to you. I know you have a few.
Thank you. Yes. Good morning, everyone. I want to give you an update on our Super Bowl competition. We are now in the third quarter of our Super Bowl. So if you want to get in the game, the Penguins have raised $612 in food donations, and the Polar Bears have donated $1,400. So the Polar Bears are quite a bit ahead of the Penguins. Come on, Penguins. So if you don't know which team you're on, it's just based on which side of Route 135 you live on. So if you're north of Route 135, you are a Polar Bear. And if you are south of Route 135, you are a Penguin. And you can go online to yougivegoods.com/Natick Super Bowl 2021 to make donations in the easiest way. And these donations will go donate food to A Place to Turn in Natick and the food pantry there. So today, as Jonathan said, is our annual meeting. You know, on the right there, you can see a picture of a previous annual meeting all set up for everyone to come down from Big Church to sit and have a meal together and to do the business of the church. Well, we can't do that today. We're going to be gathering via Zoom using that same link for our post-worship fellowship that we use every week after worship. And we do hope that you will join us for this. So everyone is welcome to come to this meeting. You do have to be a member in order to vote on the business items of the meeting, but it will be informative and hopefully fun. It will be a gathering of our church family in a wonderful way. So we need a quorum of 50 church members to vote on the church business of the church budget for 2021 and some other business items. So we do hope that you will join us for this meeting and help us to meet that quorum so that we can continue on in our mission and ministry of the church. You should, many of you would have received the annual report in the mail this week. If you did not receive it, that you can look online for that information on our website. And there was one addendum to that in the finance and treasurer's report. So even if you did receive one in the mail, you may want to look for that revised version that was sent out via the link email, and it is also on our website, and you can just see that one piece that was revised. So we hope you will join us this afternoon at noon. And so just to be clear, the post-worship fellowship will open at 11:30, just as always, and you can come and chat and visit, or maybe go and grab some lunch so that you're ready for the meeting at noon, whatever works for you. But you can come in anytime before noon, and then we will count the quorum at right after noon. And we also have our midweek connection and prayer on Wednesdays at noon that you are invited to join us. We get together to share prayer requests and be in a time of prayer together. It's a lovely, lovely way to gather and be together as a community of Christ. And if you are in need of pastoral care, please do not hesitate to contact Jonathan during the week via his email at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org or by his cell phone. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn. So we continue our time of worship this now as we light the Christ candle together. I invite you now to light your candle with me, remembering as we receive the light of the Spirit that we are the light of the world, called to make that light shine forth into every beshadowed corner where the light of God is needed. Mission accomplished, the light is lit, the Spirit is with us. Let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. Like empty jars, we have come to be filled.
Like candles, we have come to be set ablaze.
Like weary travelers, like aged wine, we have come to be poured out.
Like weary travelers, we have come to find rest.
Like friends divided, we have come to be reconciled.
Like children, we have come to be surprised.
Hear the word of God and make your reply. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me, O my people.
And my heart responds, God, I am coming.
Unrevealed until it's season, something God alone can see.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Creative God, from whom new possibility springs, we call your name. Make a way for us where there has been none. Quench the drought of our spirits with living water, that we may sing your praise. Free us to welcome your newness of life. Give us courage to hope that you will be present in this worship and always, pouring out your new wine even as we savor the old. Amen.
I invite us each now to reach out our hands in a gesture of blessing, placing our hands perhaps over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace. We're offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
We continue to be in a time when we are not gathered together physically, and yet we are also in a time when the Spirit is among us and the Spirit continues to move us to use the gifts that we've been given by our loving God to be in ministry together by the power of all of those gifts brought together. We do this in many ways. We do this in the many talents and abilities that we bring together and share with the world. And we also give of our time, and we also give of our passion. We also give of our money resources, because we know those money resources are needed sometimes in order to help make this mission and ministry possible. So we hope that you will continue to be generous, as you have been, as a congregation and beyond, toward helping make sure that that ministry is possible in a time when it's needed so much. There are many ways that you can give. Of course, you can write a check and you can mail that to us. That's fine. We look forward to receiving that by mail, and it can be sent directly to the church office. Or if you wish, you can also make an online contribution through our church's online portal at www.firstchurchnatick.org. Again, thank you for your generosity. And more importantly, for making it possible for the mission and ministry of First Congregational Church made it possible. Let us offer ourselves and our substance as we honor God with joyous thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. As ministers of your new covenant, O God, we bring these offerings. May they impart new life to people we know and to many we will never meet. Bless the work of our hands as we reach out in your name, that all your people may feast at the banquet table of your love and taste the new spiritual wine that you offer. By the power of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the first letter to the Corinthians in the Gospel of Luke. Beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 6 through 16. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are discerned spiritually. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And continuing in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 33 through 39. Then they said to him, John's disciples, like the disciples of the Pharisees, frequently fast and pray, but your disciples eat and drink. Jesus said to them, you cannot make wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them, can you? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. He also told them a parable. No one tears a piece from a new garment and sews it on an old garment. Otherwise, the new will be torn, and the pieces from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins and will be spilled, and the skins will be destroyed. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. And no one, after drinking old wine, desires new wine, but says, the old is good. Here ends the reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So in today's gospel reading, Jesus confronts what I think is a pretty human phenomenon, and that is the dogged resistance to change. I'm reminded just how long it took the British Navy to act to prevent scurvy, a condition that by far was the leading reason for death aboard a man of war. On long voyages, it could kill half the crew or more. In 1601, Captain James Lancaster tested the effectiveness of lemon juice to prevent scurvy. by giving three spoonfuls a day to sailors on the largest of his four ships. Those on the three smaller ships, they received none. And while most of the of his ship remained completely healthy, 110 of 178 of the others died of scurvy. In 1747, a British physician followed up Lancaster's experiments, providing solid proof of the efficacy of citrus fruits. But it wasn't until 1795 that the Royal Navy began to serve out citrus juices. Scurvy was then almost completely eradicated. So the question is, why did it take well over 200 years for this change to come about? The answer is actually pretty simple. Tradition overruled innovation. As we see from today's scripture, Jesus challenged such blind obedience to tradition. The religious authorities question with Jesus why Jesus' disciples don't follow the traditional practice of fasting. He answers by speaking of the need for new wineskins and new wine. In Jesus' day, new wine was stored in sewn-up tanned goatskins. The skins were filled, and the supple leather container would bulge to near bursting as carbon dioxide gas produced by fermentation stretched it to its absolute limit. Over time, that leather's natural resilience was destroyed. So reused wineskins couldn't hold up to any further stretching. They would simply break. And so Jesus' hearers knew that new wine in old wineskins would invariably result in new wine gushing out on the ground to be wasted. In this way, Jesus was telling his people that to receive the new wine God is offering meant making some structural changes in their lives that sometimes bucked tradition. So, of course, we know what happened with this story. The religious elites, they resisted. They focused on preserving old wineskins. They didn't focus on the new wine. We don't want your new wine, as in essence, they were saying, your new ways or your new way. We like the old ways. We're not changing. And so when they were tired of Jesus' repeated invitation to new life and new wine, they had him killed. So invoking tradition is a pretty typical way to resist change. We've never done it that way before. We don't do things that way. When you've been around longer, you'll understand why it can't be done. All of these kinds of sayings protect our sacred cows. Anything that we have or do that or think that is immune to criticism. And I want to be absolutely clear here that in Hinduism, the honoring of the cow as being sacred, that makes spiritual sense. But it doesn't make spiritual sense in Christianity. And that's really my point here in using this concept. To Jesus, though traditional forms of our faith served well in the past, when they reach sacred cow status, they take the place of faith and they become something else. They become idols. In our work, emotional and relational lies, veneration of the way that we have always done it can blind us to life-enriching newness. We may resist, but we can't deny that change happens. It's happening right now. It's natural. There's nothing we can do about it. And so I think about this in many different ways, but most frequently, I think about this when I think about my kids. Take my adult, now adult daughter, Ellie. She has always loved performing, dancing and singing and acting. From an early age, those things were her world. And as a dad, it seems like only yesterday when she was in elementary school, and she was playing that spirited all-American girl, Dorothy, in The Wizard of Oz. But how fast things can change. Within a few short years, she would go on to play a revolutionary bomb maker, a murderess in the musical Chicago, a stuck-up bigoted airhead in Hairspray, and a lesbian Romeo in an alternative Romeo and Juliet. And I distinctly remember being in the audience as she wooed her lover up on the balcony, thinking to myself, we are definitely not in Kansas anymore. Well, we may feel like we are not in, I don't know, Massachusetts anymore. For here and elsewhere, in a very short amount of time, the world has become, and sometimes feels like it is becoming, unfamiliar. Landscapes have changed. Words have new meanings. Technology touches every aspect of life. We encounter more human diversity in our lives on a daily basis. Gender roles are being transformed, and gender identities are expanding. And whether it's racial justice protests or maybe the disturbing awareness that even in Natick, some of our neighbors aren't immune to political radicalization and behaving in ways that we deplore. Well, whether it's those things or others, we can't deny that we are living amidst fundamental societal changes. Assessing rapid changes in his own time, Albert Einstein said, everything has changed but our ways of thinking. And if these do not change, we drift toward unparalleled catastrophe. So if we're going to thrive, let alone survive, in the midst of colossal and phenomenal perpetual change, we have to refashion our old forms of our lives that no longer fit the circumstances. It's a principle of life that new situations demand new structures, new forms, whether it's jobs or relationships or human organizations. We must make of ourselves new wineskins, refashioning ourselves to receive God's new wine. So the question is, what can prompt us to overcome our resistance to change? Well, feeling the pinch can help. Newton's first law of physics, of motion in physics, says that things continue in a state of rest unless compelled to change by forces acting upon them. So picture a scene from the Old West. Sometime maybe in the 1870s, weary cowboys gather around a blazing fire after a day on the open range. And suddenly, one of those cowpokes yelps and leaps away from the fire. Another victim of hot rivet syndrome. Here's what I mean. See, jeans, back then, were made with copper rivets at the stress points, like they are today, but including, well, in the crotch. When cowboys crouched too long by the campfire, they could grow uncomfortably hot. So in 1933, Walter Haas, president of Levi Strauss, went camping and himself fell prey to hot rivet syndrome. You can guess what happened at the next board of directors meeting. The offending rivet was voted into extinction. Some people will change when they see the light, but others, it seems, only when they feel the heat. So at one time or another, most of us, well, we feel the heat. We feel the heat. Having had leukemia myself, I know that my chances of remaining healthy require something that is sometimes hard for me to do, and that is to break old habits of inactivity with regular exercise. You may be feeling the heat of change too, in other ways. As your children grow up and new parenting challenges emerge, as the aging process leaves you feeling different at least and possibly feeling diminished, as the pandemic continues and it creates further financial stresses for you perhaps, or as a church too, as we discern what it means for us that things simply aren't the way they were. The feeling of loss that accompanies these changes is also real. And yet nostalgia, a looking backward and clinging to old ways and old habits and old ways of thinking can block us from the opportunities that there are in the midst of change. We have a lot of good reasons, I think, to resist change. This is a process, of course, that feels risky and that often feels uncomfortable. I'm reminded of lobsters who have to leave their shell in order to grow. They need that shell to protect them from being torn apart, yet as they grow, the old shell has to be abandoned. If they didn't, that old shell would soon become their prison. And finally become their casket. The tricky part then is this in-between time that they experience when the old shell is discarded and the new one is being formed. During that vulnerable period, the transition could be frightening. Currents cartwheel them from coral to kelp. Hungry fish are ready to devour them. For a while, at least, that old shell has to look pretty good. And I've been thinking that we are not so different. We are not so different. To grow, we sometimes have to shed our shells. Yet growth and health is always about accepting the inevitability of change and the need for us to make accompanying adaptive changes. Which brings me back to Ellie, my daughter. She still loves the arts, but at age 24, after years of theater and arts organization experience, and of course studying art and theater as well, living in a time of political upheaval and social protest and climate emergency, and also graduating during a pandemic, with all those things, her passion has morphed. It's morphed into how art can move us to think about the world that we live in differently, how it can move us. So talk about new wineskins. This spring, she is curating a virtual exhibit with a series of conversations at her alma mater with international women artists whose work addresses climate change and climate justice. She has moved from center stage to centering others on the stage so that their voices can be heard. And of course, I'm proud of her. But my point here is that she teaches me that while change is going to happen, we can yet be true to who we are and yet adapt to new conditions and thereby receive new potentials, new opportunities, new wine. Jesus points out that those who drink old wine prize it better than the new, and every wine connoisseur would probably agree. And yet he asks us if we've cultivated such a taste for the old wine that we despise the new. He reminds us that if we don't try to bottle the new, then we won't know if it might become an even more satisfying vintage in time. And he calls us to faithful discernment that we might recognize the essential difference between the wine and the wineskins, because sometimes we confuse those things. and be ready to find new skins for the new wine. This year, our congregation is going to enter its 370th year. We might be tempted to believe that it has endured those long years, basically unchanging, but that would be a lie. It's not true. Nothing could be further from the truth. We stand upon the shoulders of our spiritual forebears with a rich inheritance that we have. And like each of them in their times, we too have consequential decisions to make about how we are going to meet the challenge of change in our time that's impacting us. Not only to survive, but to thrive. And make no mistake, this congregation continues today because, not merely because it persisted, but because it adapted. That's a history we'll be exploring more this year as we move towards a pastoral search process. But choosing new paths, new directions, new endeavors, in the midst of the change that is experienced, that's what our church did. It did it in ways that were consistent with its essential commitments, its essential values, its essential beliefs, but it adapted. St. Paul told the Corinthians of the wise discernment available to those who seek the leading of the Spirit, that by the Spirit's power, we may have the mind of Christ and with it discern of the new wine that God is offering. And the new wineskins that God wants us to use. Our challenge in a world dominated by change is to seek spiritual grounding, to trust God enough to see us through every metamorphosis and to let go of our hold on the old wineskins and abandon them when it's faithful for a new way. We've done it before. So, take heart, beloved. Take heart, people of God. Together, we can meet the challenge of change. Let go where we must and trust. Trust that we will be led well to holy adaptation. Amen. We come to a time of sharing concerns and celebrations and being together in prayer. And as we do that, I want us to lift up our annual meeting this day. I want us to lift up not only the business that will be conducted there, but the essential business of being a missional community, a community that's about advancing God's mission in the world. So I ask for prayers for our church, for blessings upon all of the work that we'll do together. And in particular of being able to gather the sweet wine that God is giving us in this new day. I ask now Wayne Zaretter if there are other prayer concerns or celebrations that have come to us before or during our worship this day.
Good morning. Today we offer prayers of gratitude for the dedicated and talented scientists who've worked in the laboratories for many years, whose knowledge and skill bring us new healing therapies in so many fields. Continued prayers for strength and courage as other researchers work behind the scenes each and every day to find new cures and treatments. Prayers for our congregation as we come together to reflect on our past and plan for our future together this afternoon at our annual meeting. Lastly, prayers for those involved with the COVID-19 vaccination efforts. May their insights, creativity, and planning bring the needed protection to our families and our neighbors as soon as possible.
Thank you, Wayne. Let us pray together. Life-renewing God, we offer our thanks for this life you have given us, but also for your ongoing work of renewal. And so, Holy One, we praise you. We praise you for making this renewal possible, that we can be made anew at each moment, that you live with us and that you offer us second and third chances to better live as you would have us live. And yet we know that we still find it difficult to accept these sometimes. We want to be renewed perhaps, but we fear the changes that we might have to make. We cling to what we know, including our old identities, and find it hard to leave these behind and to be reborn. And so we ask you this day to help us with our resistance, help us to accept life renewing changes in our world and in ourselves, to be open to change and to respond to change as you would have us respond, to be faithful listeners to your spirit. We ask as well that you not only help us with our fear of change, but with those changes which are in themselves so difficult, for we know hardship. And some of us know misery. Our lives are never the same from each day to the next. And while you renew us each day, some of the changes we experience are those of illness and decay and death, of violence and hatred sometimes, of injustice. By the power of your healing, then, nurturing spirit, assist us each in these many kinds of transitions, O God, as we struggle with burdensome, real anxieties and deep pains and darkening grief, as we wrestle with changes that we may find troubling. Continue to be with us, life-giving and renewing God. Bring this world and each one of us to wholeness. And as you do so, know that we praise you for your faithfulness, for your mercy, and for your compassion. We pray these things through our Lord Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." People of God, arise now from worship, and as you do, remain in God's grace, abide in Christ's love, and dwell in the Spirit's presence. And may the blessings of God bring bring to you all the peace that you need in your day, that you might meet every challenge, and in particular, the challenges of change. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.